game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis. It's the Sharp Plays, real-time global betting information, as well as alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check them out, sharpplays.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Nick at Real Nick, he says, hey, Kelly, we have a combo Taco Bell Long John Silver's.
Oh, God.
A few minutes from me. Nothing goes better with a burrito and three soft tacos than a dozen hush puppies, especially at 1 a.m.
I bet they make a great fish taco, though.
Long John Silver's.
When's the last time you've eaten at a Long John Silver's?
Oh, I don't think I've ever. I think it's a null set.
I was just going to say, I don't know that I ever have in my entire life.
And I remember there was one growing up, and I never went in there. Darren Prince.
Good for them for still being around.
That's right. Darren Prince, with the riots in Los Angeles, the Dodgers have a 10-game at-home series starting Friday. Could MLB move the games? That's an interesting question that I had not considered. Obviously, depending on location and severity, the only historical precedent for this is the Rodney King riots in 1992. The Dodgers canceled and later rescheduled several home games. I remember that. And the Lakers moved a playoff game to Vegas due to the severity of that situation. So that's the historical precedent, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's a good thing to bring up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd hate to see it happen, yeah. But we can't sit here right now and say there's a 0% chance that happened.
What's it? Brandon Webb, 2019 Blues, least points in the league at the All-Star break. Oh, I guess he's talking about the question of what's the most... What we were talking about was the most amazing playoff run. But yes, the 2019 Blues, I guess, from just being so average so late into the season, it was unique in that way. I think that's what he's reacting to.
How could you have forgotten about them, Gil? Come on.
You mean the team that won it after the Capitals did? That's all I remember them as. Let's see. Charles, we'll get to that one later. Let's bring in Will Hill. Will Hill, ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, available where you get all your podcasts. He's also the star of the Beating the Book Megapod, and of course, Chris Velika's Bear Bets podcast empire over there at Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill, and he's a co-host here at VSiN Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. He does it all. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing?
Boys, what's going on, Gilly? Nice to have you back. It's funny you bring that up because I was thinking the same thing with the Dodgers possibly moving the games or another option. I don't know if you remember this. It was about a decade ago. The Orioles played the White Sox. It was in Baltimore. They played in an empty stadium because there was something that happened. Civil unrest, I guess, would be the best way to put it. There was some incident where they couldn't properly guarantee security. So they played in an empty building, which was, I guess, a sign of things to come, 5 years later with COVID. But that was very strange at the time where it was the ball players, it was the umpires, and it was, coaches, managers, and nobody else. So I don't know if that would be an option.
Everybody should just play in Sacramento, clearly. That's what we figured.
Clearly.
That's where baseball should be housed.
Clearly. So I'll take a road trip. By the way, we were talking a little bit about this off air. Here are the MLB June most wins. So we update these every day here on the show. The Mets, Blue Jays, and Giants, all 7-2 atop the leaderboard in June. And there are our Detroit Tigers in fourth place right now at 6-3 with a +9 run differential. But I just want to seize on the Giants right there, Will, because this is what you brought up. The San Francisco Giants are 7-2. Look at that one run column. 6-2 in one run games.
That's crazy.
The last six games, they have won by a run, by a singular run. Unsustainable, I believe is what we call that. But nonetheless, you bank the wins and there they are. Will, what about them? Sustainable or not?
Probably not. And by the way, for the audience, I had to twist Gil's arm very hard to get him to bring up the Giants. He resisted. I insisted. We went back and forth. Finally, he's like,
we can't
talk about them. We'll talk about the Giants. Yeah, and for anyone just figuring out a way to fade the Rockies as a free parlay piece, spot on the bingo card, just fade the Rockies somehow. And if you went to bed early last night, you woke up with a nice little surprise with the Giants. I think four runs in the ninth. I don't know that they swing the bats well enough. Chapman just went on the IL, but look, the NL has been the Dodgers have been disappointing. The Padres have been disappointing at times. The Diamondbacks haven't lived up to expectations. Now they're not going to have Burns. It's funny, a lot of these teams, just really in general in baseball, have not lived up to expectations. Braves were, 93.5? And I'll get to them in a minute with one of my plays. 93.5 wins, they're 10 games under. the Red Sox, the Rangers, the Diamondbacks, the Orioles. You got a lot of disappointing teams in baseball, more than I can remember in past years.
Yeah, I mean, some of those teams like the Reds, when you look at, and we'll get into these when we do some props in a bit, but it's, you know, the Reds should probably have a better record based on Pythag, based on base runs. So even though they are, what, they're 35 and 33, they probably ought to be a few games, if not four games, better than that. The Red Sox are also a team that probably should have a better record than they do based on run production and run allowance and also run sequencing. But, right, then you have to go to the personnel part of things. You're like, okay, well, that's one thing sort of abstractly. But, you know, that's what their record is. Doesn't matter what they should or should not have been. And then you don't have Bregman, and you're like, can they really, you know, and who knows when he's back, right? It's going to be a while. So, yeah, there's a lot of these teams where it's like, it's too bad. Maybe you should have been better, but you're not.
Yeah, that too. I mean, look, the Orioles were, what, 91, 92? They're over-under for wins, and they're looking at 13 games under 500. It's just a lot of these teams, so like you're saying, they're underperforming based on, you know, the runs scored, runs allowed, but some of the preseason expectations are just not matching. So, interesting. We're, you know, getting to the point where these teams, I mean, I've said this about the Braves. The season's long. There's a lot of time left. The season's long. The season is not eternal. Now, right. I understand the Tigers, the Mets last year. Look, the Mets were one of the worst teams this time last year, and they were two wins away from a World Series. The Tigers just completely came out of nowhere, so it can happen. But just you're almost putting yourself in a position with some of these teams where there's no coming back from it.
Can you fact check Willie if the season is eternal? Can you fact check him on that, please?
It is
feels
not.
That way sometimes.
It's not.
All right. What did you say? You have a Braves play? Was that what you teased that?
I did play the Braves. Schwellenbach going against Patrick. It's in the 140, 145 range. I just think better pitcher, better lineup. And, you know, Brewers really haven't swung the bats well recently, haven't swung the bats well at home for whatever that's worth. Recently, so I think this price is okay to lay with Atlanta. And look, gotta come at some point here. If you're Atlanta, I have a hard time believing the run is not coming at some point. There's just too much talent. But again, you're 10 games under. I mean, they have one more win than the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're two games ahead of the Marlins. They're two games behind the Nats. They're trailing basically everybody in the National League. So if the run's going to come, it's got to come at some point. Plus, you got to give your front office a reason to you know, believe here. But I do think this is a pretty favorable matchup here for Atlanta.
Anything else in baseball today?
I did play the Phillies. I know Lizardo has not been great. He's been very shaky the last two starts. But before that, he was dominant. Cubs the last 6 weeks or so have been shaky against left-handed pitching. So I think this is a good spot for Lizardo to bounce back. Philly's another team. They're not really swinging the bats as well as you'd expect with all those names you recognize in that lineup. They're now five back of the Mets. I know a lot of people before the season, Joe Pete, a bunch of people say, hey, they're getting older. They're a team on the decline. That's starting to look accurate, but I think this is a good spot to back the Phillies. And I did take the Marlins plus a half a run in the first five. Quantrill's been pretty solid lately, the Marlins pitcher, going against Falter, who's got decent numbers but just doesn't have the stuff. He doesn't, you know, blow you away with his stuff. So to me, this is one of these games where I love getting the half run in the first five. So often it's 2-2 after five, and you win with that hook, which feels really good. So I will take the half run here with the
Wishnev describes as a Willie special, the plus half a run in the first five. Will loves those.
And then PSA, that one starts early, right, Will? That is...
Yeah, 12:35 Eastern, I think. Love it.
By the way, Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer, he tweeted and he goes, curious to hear your thoughts on the Dodgers using a position player starting in the sixth inning last night. Don't we have to take a glance now anytime they're losing by 5+ in the seventh inning or later for a possible live bet? I would just broaden that. How many times do you think that comes up in our group chat where we're like, oh, position player alert? Not nightly, but like how many times a week would we say at this point?
How often does it come up versus how often does it actually cash? Because often you pinpoint it and say, oh, man, they're going to go to a position player. And some guy comes in throwing 26 miles per hour and gets him 1-2-3. You just want to just throw your remote control through the TV.
It's so true.
I do.
It's
so true. Is there a – obviously, you guys have your group chat. There's got to be a Twitter account out there, right? Like, I need that notification set up of, like, position player in. Like, I need that Twitter account.
MLB position player. That's the whole account. That's all they do.
That's all they do. Just alert when they're in.
Just bulbs.
The books are pretty smart. Once the position player's in, they kind of take everything down. You got to get ahead of it early in the game, an inning or two before, that kind of thing.
For sure. All right, NBA Game 3 tonight. NBA Finals, this just in. Special numbers game investigation reveals. Do you have a play?
it would be taking the points if, or nothing. I just don't know with how OKC's played on the road, how you get to laying 5, 5.5. That being said, I think this series goes one of two ways tonight. Indy wins. We're looking at a very tension-filled 48 hours where, man, OKC's down 2-1. Game four is on the road. It's nervous time for OKC. I think if OKC wins, though, I think a lot of people are going to turn the page mentally with how dominant they were in the first two games, despite the fact that it's only 1-1. So I think OKC wins. I can't get to lay in the 5.5, 5. This does remind me a little bit Miami-Denver a couple years ago, where Miami was just they had so much magic. They proved everybody wrong. It was 1-1 after two, and then they never won another game. This Indy team reminds me a little bit of that Miami team. I'm terrified to bet against the Pacers with what they've done here the past month or so.
How can you not be, man? How can you not be? I totally get it. Will, always a pleasure. Should have bet more. How many times a week do you put them out?
Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday. A who's who of phenomenal guests. Thank you, Will.
The Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to a whole nother level with First Bet. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use promo code VSID200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. We get tweets. Beating the book. Guess what everybody wants to talk about, Kelly?
Fast food.
Oops.
That's all I'm Googling right now, too.
Hoops by Hoots. We have a Long John Silver's A&W root beer combo in Indiana.
Oh, man. That's the one I was most fascinated by, the A&W root beer, like, restaurants. Like, I used to go once in a while. My dad always liked to stop at them when we'd go visit his mom in Pennsylvania. I hadn't seen them anywhere else outside of Pennsylvania, though. Just looked up. They still got 475 locations nationwide, including one in Boulder City.
Oh, I did that with Roy.
Want to hit the road after this?
Yes, absolutely, I would. I did that with Roy Rogers fast food restaurants on the East Coast. So I grew up on those, and apparently they still exist now. But I don't know if they're the same
Wild.
Thing. Jason Stark, who egregiously coupled me with you on the Steelers hate yesterday, he said, "Hey guys, we have an A&W root beer KFC combo about a half hour from me." Jason H11, "I also have a combo Taco Bell Long John Silver's near my office. Coincidentally, there's a Portolette company less than a mile away." Coincidence? I think not. Ronnie Roach, "I had a Long John Silver's A&W combined restaurant near me while growing up and loved it. No A&W anymore, but I go to Long John Silver's every now and then for that nostalgia. You guys are missing out. Going to get some today now." Sparty KY, "Believe it or not, Long John Silver's is a decent grilled salmon with green beans and slaw."
Oh, man.
"And a very good piece of cheesecake." I do not want to get that. Sorry. You know what I'd like? I'd like some green beans. Let's see here. Oh, Bobby Geddes. "A couple days late here. First of all, welcome back, both of you. Matt Brown, Scott Seidenberg did great filling in." By the way, it was terrible form of me. Usually the first thing I do when I come back is thank the host. Did I do that this week? I don't think I did.
No, I wasn't here on Monday, so I don't know.
I don't think I did that. So shame on me. Matt Brown, awesome. Scott Seidenberg on Friday. Anyways, he says, "I have to bring up the French Open again. That men's final match was incredible. I'm on a family reunion in Ireland, and we were at the Guinness factory during the match. I asked if any bars had tennis on and was laughed out of the room, so I had to settle for a back hallway with an outlet to watch on my phone. The things we do to watch these games. Good for you. It was worth it, though, wasn't it?"
I mean, if you can't ask about, like, tennis being on in Europe, like, you're getting laughed out of the room
in
Europe?
Europe? Come on. "Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to talk some U.S. Open golf. Oakmont begins in less than 48 hours. Or less than 24 hours. Forgive me. I've lost track of time. Sia Najad joins us to discuss and give all his bets. He's host and analyst for Sportsline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Always the best dressed man in the room. Or maybe he's not the best dressed man. He just looks good in the clothes.
He's got gym shorts on underneath, yeah, for sure. He's a TV pro.
Joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Sia?
I want to, like, if we could go, like, maybe 20 more minutes on the fast food conversation, just real quick. First of all, good pull on Roy Rogers. Wendy's is my favorite fast food joint, unless you include Boston Market, which has historically been incredibly underrated. And I know they're closing in a lot of places. Love me some Boston Market. Love me some Wendy's.
I'm going to say I'm an old school Boston Market guy. When it was Boston Chicken, that's when it was great. When they went to Boston Market.
Wow. How old are you? I've never even seen
I am 174 years old.
I've never seen a Boston chicken. I agree with you. A Boston market being underrated. I haven't seen one of those in years, though, either.
Yeah, Boston chicken was the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you know this, but I remember the 80s.
Why'd they go away from that? They all they serve is chicken. It's not like they really expanded the menu.
They wanted to branch out at one point. Anyway,
if I may, speaking of the 80s, sorry, I always derail the show.
Okay.
We're Clint Didier days away from NFL kickoff.
You know what that means? Let's throw that out. That means we're 86 days away.
There you go.
I got to stop pounding that table.
Yeah.
Sia, before you get into the U.S. Open, can I just ask you, what's the weather report? Because this is sort of creeping in. What's going on with that?
You mean at the U.S. Open at Oakmont?
Yes, not your current weather.
Yeah,
report.
I mean,
yes, at Oakmont.
Like the weather here in D.C. I think it's pretty mild over the first 2 days. I don't think we're going to get I know there's going to be some rain, I believe, on Friday, which could make conditions softer and could make scores lower, like better scores because of that. I don't have a good read on the weather. I know Thursday is going to be pretty mild, not much wind in the morning or the afternoon. My understanding is that we will see some rain Friday. I don't know if it's going to suspend play or not, but that is going to seep in there on Friday for sure.
Yeah, yes. Saturday, Sunday looking like precipitation.
Latest I saw, wet early this week a little bit, and they were talking about that as guys have been prepping. Thursday, Friday were mainly supposed to be okay. The weekend could get some weather, but it has been changing, I know, the forecast over the past 24 hours, so keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm. All right, have at it, Cio. We'll start with the outrights, or however you want to go.
Well, last time I was on here, I probably did what I'm about to do, and I'm going to do the without Scottie Scheffler market because I don't want to deal with the guy that I think is going to win. I also don't want to bet him at plus 260 or plus 275 or even plus 300. Not that you can get it at that number at many places. I'm going to go with John Rahm. I'm going to go with John Rahm and the without Scottie Scheffler market. That's my main play. I got a couple other names to kind of mention here, but John Rahm's playing really well. Yes, he's playing well on LIV, and you can kind of like take that with a bit of a grain of salt, but I do think there's good evidence that he's gaining across all metrics on LIV, and that would probably translate over to the PGA Tour as well. But more importantly, we saw him almost chase down Scottie Scheffler about a month ago at the PGA Championship. I think he's in great form, and when we look at who can possibly win this tournament, yeah, I guess there's some underdogs that could kind of get in there, but there's really five or six, maybe eight or nine guys that I think could win this tournament. I think John Rahm and Bryson are at the top of that list once you get past Scottie Scheffler. As far as Bryson is concerned, his number in the without market's like plus 700. And because I put Rahm and Bryson on the same playing field, at least here, especially with respect to how good both of them are off the tee, I'm just going to go with the better number. I'm going to go with John Rahm. Other names that are sort of in the more underdog market here, Shane Lowry in the without market, I do like on a tough course at 35-1. And then in the without Scotty, Rory, Bryson, Rahm market, which of course you can also engage, I'm going to go Sam Burns, certainly a hot hand at plus 3,500. So two in the without market, which with Scotty and one in Sam Burns in the without Scotty, Rory, Bryson, and Rahm market.
How universal are the without Scotty markets? Are they in all books? Are they in 50% of books? What would you say at this point?
At this point, they're in all the major books. Now, not all books are doing well. I mean, I guess it depends on what you think is a major book, but most of the major books have the without Scottie Scheffler market. The without the like the four, the big four, that's something that a couple of books have been doing all year, but not every book is doing that one. And frankly, not a lot of people want to engage that market anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's where we are with Scottie Scheffler.
No shocker, Gil. Not as many out here in Vegas.
Wow. That's why I ask.
Caesars and MGM.
And that's why I ask, Sia, because we live in our own little ecosystem here in Nevada. All right. Finishing positions, you have some bets as well.
Yeah, I'll go back to Sam Burns at plus 190 to top 20. I mean, I love what he's doing off the tee. I like his game for this course in general. But more importantly, because I suppose we can't look at what he did off the tee last week necessarily. These are completely different fairways in terms of how narrow they are. But the ball striking in general looks like we're starting to see the old Sam Burns. But what has never left Sam Burns is the putter. And when you get a tough course like this and you've got one of the best putters in the field in Sam Burns, I mean, he absolutely crushes it with that stick. And I just feel like when we're looking at a really tough course, we need guys who can make clutch putts. And Sam Burns is that guy. So at plus 190 for a top 20, because of this number, it's only a half a unit play for me. But I think Sam Burns has top 10 upside, frankly, and it wouldn't shock me if he's in the top five. Harris English, top 30. I think he's a popular play. You can get it at plus 115. These are all including ties. Harris Inglis is just so underrated. I hit him in the without Scottie Scheffler market when he was 110-1. A few weeks back. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was a three-way split with Bryson and maybe Davis Riley. But Harris English, super underrated, particularly underrated off the tee. Good in tough courses, tough conditions. Top 30, very reasonable at plus 115.
All right, and then top South Korean, Siwoo Kim, plus 225.
I like how the game is trending for him. He's very accurate off the tee, which I do think is going to help tremendously. The length isn't great, but when you're talking about who he's up against, it's Sung Jae-im, Tom Kim, and Ben Ahn. Ben Ahn has some length. He's not really good anywhere else. Sung Jae-im's been so bad on approach, and Tom Kim's just been so bad for like a year. So I think Siwoo Kim's coming in with the best form, has a good profile, can certainly putt as well. You worry about the blow-up spot, but again, this is plus 225. This is one where you could put even less than a half a unit to win a full unit here.
All right, would not be an official Sia Nejad segment without his first round leader plays, a branding that he did not want, but he's too good at it not to have it. What do you got?
It's ironic, too, because this year I haven't been as hot with first-round leaders, but I've been very hot in the outright market. So, you know, do with that what you will. But I got five here, all between 50 and 90 to 1. We're going to go with Shane Lowry, a guy that's good on tough courses and I think is going to keep it in the fairway and keep it in front of him. Harris English, I just talked about. He's 75 to 1. Ryan Fox, ride the hot hand, and he's been more accurate off the tee. I think he could be still really good for round one, if not all four rounds, at 80 to 1. And then two kind of long shots, Ryan Gerard, Adam Scott at 90 to 1.
90 to 1.
Yeah, Ryan Gerard, though, you've seen it as much as I have. See, after the first round, how often he's on that first page of that leaderboard. I don't know what it's with him in the first round, but, man, he's been incredible there.
See ya.
Yeah, spike potential is what we're looking for there. Yep.
Appreciate it as always, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
At Sia Nejad, S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. Always a pleasure to have Sia on the show. We'll come back. More of those Major League Baseball props to get to 60 wins, to get to 70, to get to 80, to get to 100. That's next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, in case you haven't heard, VSiN is hitting the road for the College World Series in Omaha.
Road tripping.
Omaha. We'll be live tomorrow through Saturday, broadcasting straight from Rocco's, the iconic home of the Jell-O Shot Challenge. Uh-oh. Catch Money Moves and follow the money live from Omaha with the sights, sounds, and best bets from the tournament. Head to VSiN.com/CWS for all the details and a free College World Series betting guide. How about that?
I can't, as a producer, just not break down the graphic sometimes. Like, why is that Jeep on the baseball field? Someone get it off the field, Gil.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's driving right out on there.
Oh, it sure is. Man. Oh, looking forward to having Stormy and JVT on with us from Omaha tomorrow.
It'd also be very comical if the entire VEASAN crew that's going out there had to load up in one single Jeep.
What's the Jell-O shot thing? There's a challenge?
Oh, yeah. There's the bar that we're going to be doing the shows from. They do the running count for basically every college every year of how many Jell-O shots people from that college have consumed.
Oh,
I don't think drink is the right word. Consumed is probably the right word with Jell-O.
Oh, look, I just see the screen right here. Odds to win VEASAN's Jell-O Shot Challenge. Derek Stevens is your short shot. Let me just tell you this right now. That is not short enough.
Via buythebooks.bet. I saw them talking about this morning.
buythebooks.bet.
JVT's very insulted by his odds.
Jensen Lewis from Buy the Books next at plus 650. Paulie Howard plus 750. Mitch Moss 8-1. JVT 10-1. Stormy 12-1, and what, Mike Palm is 250-1?
Uh-huh.
That's the long shot right there. You gotta put a flyer on that.
Yeah, these were shifting. There was a lot of tweets during the show. I believe I tweeted in I would be like Tiger Woods in his prime odds if I wasn't benched for this event. Derek though belongs at the top. I was also texting with Jensen. There's really only a couple times I've really run into some problems with keeping up with people, Gil. Once was with my Navy SEAL cousin and his buddies in Annapolis, Maryland. Oh, boy. And I thought I could keep up with those guys. That did not work out well. And then with some professional baseball players in Port St. Lucie, Florida during spring training. Maybe you've heard stories about Wade Boggs. Oh, boy, these guys can throw some back.
Really?
Jensen, I'm not going against your price either, buddy.
Jell-O shot thing explains why I wasn't invited, I guess.
I'd still need a real drink, though. I'd be
Here's what I would do. I would slap you on the butt and be like, go get him, Kelly.
That's right. You'd be my hype man.
We get tweets. Wet Willie Cologne. Things we are waiting for Kelly to do on air. Drop it like it's hot. Explosion. Dancing with the country club intro and the Sam Cassell celebration. You forgot tap dancing. Sometimes when the crew needs us to filibuster, they go tap dance for a while. I'm like, Kelly should get his top hat and his cane. Vegas Vice.
That would be the most difficult one to do still.
This is a question for Ben Wilson. Can you ask Ben Wilson why the top two favorites in the College World Series get matched up in the first round? Is it because the 1-64 season brackets start with the Super Regionals and stay the same for the whole tournament? Ladies and gentlemen, we bring in Ben Wilson on the show to talk College World Series with us. You can follow him at Ben_Wilson_1. He makes it as complicated as possible with underscores. But he is here not only as a VSiN host, but also as a tremendous play-by-play broadcaster. We enjoy his work doing that. How you doing, Ben?
I'm great. I would love to volunteer to do the play-by-play for the Jello Shot undertaking, if Kelly were to be there, because I think that would be a highlight of my career, undoubtedly.
It would be. I used to ask Brent all the time. I go, Brent, where does the Manscaped ads land in your tier of great play-by-play? All right, Ben, what about the question here? Is that correct, what Vegas Vice was assuming here? The reason that LSU and Arkansas, for those who missed it, we talked about this yesterday, there are six different conferences here. There's an independent as well. The only conference that has two teams in, LSU and Arkansas, they're the only short shots going into the regionals that were kind of, you know, favorites in all of this, and they play each other. So if one of them is to win the College World Series, they would essentially have to do it from a loser bracket.
Exactly right, and it's why you sometimes, I mean, the way the super regionals also play out, there's no reseeding, so it's why you ended up with Murray State, a 4 seed against Duke, who was a 2 seed in their own regional going to Duke. This stuff is all sort of predetermined beforehand, and you know, it's why for Arkansas here, I mean, they're the favorite, and I've seen 3 of the 8 teams in Omaha in person this year. Arkansas, far and away, has been the most impressive in person to watch, but think about in supers, Arkansas, it had to eliminate Tennessee, who at the time was the 3rd short shot on the odds board. And they did that in pretty dominant fashion, won both games. And now they'll basically have to eliminate LSU, who's the 2nd favorite. You could probably argue Tennessee and LSU, 2 of the top 5 teams in the country. And that wouldn't even guarantee Arkansas the title. That's how crazy difficult this path is. So it's one of those things where I don't know that I'd, you know, plus 195, not worth jumping in on at this point. My strategy, especially for these teams that are a little shorter, you got to just play them game by game if you like them and want to exploit certain matchups, because as we've seen in years past, trying to monetize out any sort of future gets really tricky in this double elimination format. You know, I found this out the hard way. I had TCU a few years ago. I think you remember that, Gil.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, oh, I got a 40-1 ticket, you know, to win a few grand. Let me start monetizing, you know, start hedging. They get into the loser's bracket. Well, TCU wins like 3 straight losers bracket games, and I'm going, this is starting to get a little hairy. So that's the one word of advice I would give is, at this point, unless you've got a super great number long shot from earlier in the year or at the start of the postseason, I'd kind of let those things just ride out, because it's really hard to know when to jump in, how to treat the double elimination format here. But I do still feel like at this point, Arkansas is your rightful favorite, despite the very tough draw.
Yeah, what Ben is referring to, by the way that the sort of fakakta bracket goes moving forward, you can withstand 2 more losses to win the title. So you could lose prior to the best of 3 championship 1 time, and then you could theoretically lose, obviously, in a best of 3, 1 of those games as well. But until then, you can only lose once, right? So that's the thing with this. If I said to you, though, Ben, I'm like, all right, Ben, I get it. Arkansas is definitely the rightful short shot here, as you say. But if I said, okay, you must take a flyer on one of the long shots, which team would that be? Just for giggles.
Yeah, it's got to be from bracket 1, which is certainly the weaker of the 2. And it's how they've got it. Coastal Carolina, Oregon State, Arizona, Louisville. In that order are your 4 teams, and it's got to be Louisville for me. I mean, that's kind of been the team for me as a team who had 0 expectations from the start of the year. They're 6-1 to win the Vanderbilt region, who is the number 1 overall seed in that region, and they've continued every single step of the way to. And not only that, I mean, they've had great depth of pitching, and I'm going to bet them in game 1. They're an underdog to Oregon State, who I thought of. It's funny, in that bracket 1, guys, you only had 1 single favorite from their regional. And I'm not talking super regional. This is just from the regionals purely. Oregon State is the only favorite from their regional who's made it into this bracket 1. And I'd argue they probably got the luckiest of any team. They got a gift from, unfortunately, a sad choke job from Kelly's alma mater up in Corvallis. That should have been a seminal role. But look, I thought Florida State was clearly looked like the better team for, you know, like 25 of the 27 outs in a couple of those games. Didn't work out. So I'll continue to roll with Louisville. If you're taking a flyer here, there's definitely a team from bracket one that might be a surprise. Coastal Carolina probably should be the favorite. I'd like to play them in an under with Arizona when those totals come out for game one, because Coastal has the best pitching here, depth-wise, of teams remaining. But it's got to be Louisville, and you can get them plus 135 right now, game one over Oregon State. Likely going to see Patrick Forbes, who, when I saw him in person opening day against Texas, it was 98 with the fastball, 89 changeup, and an 83 slider. It was pretty nasty stuff for a college kid.
Wow. I'm pretty sure Ben Wilson just called you a choker, by the way. Anyone who went to FSU.
I heard.
It wasn't directed directly at Kelly.
Okay. That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
You think Arkansas, LSU, did we just get the SEC chance out of the way early? Like, they just go back and forth? SEC.
Yeah. So wait, I want to go to the first games then. Okay, so you mentioned, so let's go through those again. You just said plus 135 you would play on who again?
That would be Louisville for me. So plus 135 over Oregon State, and we showed those futures odds. I would love to see a market for just to make the College World Series final. And if you theoretically chop that in half, you'd get Louisville at around plus 850. It probably wouldn't be that because the bracket two is viewed to be stronger. But I do like Louisville to come out of that. I think it's Louisville, Coastal Carolina who end up your final two in bracket one there. And then, yeah, the lines are not out yet for totals, but I mean, Coastal Carolina, they've got Jacob Morrison, Riley Eichhoff, whoever they go with as their two top starting pitchers. They've both been amazing throughout the entire postseason, each with sub three ERAs. And Arizona's bullpen has shown a tremendous amount of growth from last year when that was kind of a consistent weakness for the Wildcats and Chip Hale, their head coach. So I like that game to go under. We generally see this park play. It's a big park, definitely plays more to pitching and defense compared to the band boxes of regionals and super regionals. So I generally look for some unders, especially early in the College World Series. Everybody's been hyped up about all these overs that hit earlier on in the tournament, but it is a different ball game once we go to Omaha and Rocco's.
All right, so one play and one looking for a total play in bracket one. In the Louisville Oregon State games and Arizona Coastal Carolina games, respectively. Nothing in the in bracket two for now from Ben. When is your next play-by-play gig before you leave, Ben? When can we look for you?
Well, I will hopefully be seeing Kelly Bidlin and possibly you, Gilda, this weekend because I will be at the wonderful Lee's Family Forum, Henderson, Nevada, Saturday night for the Vegas Nighthawks and the Bay Area Panthers, matchup of top three teams in the Indoor Football League's Western Conference. A lot on the line, guys.
Omaha. We're at the Dollar Loan Center Arena, baby. Is that what they call it?
Whatever they changed it to.
There was a small rights name change, but it's all good. Yeah.
Ben, always a pleasure. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Great to see you guys.
Ben Wilson, everybody. We'll come back JVT on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, majestic downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. We're at 7 a.m. It's a cool 95 degrees.
Oh, it's brutal. We get to this time of year. I don't know about you, but like my air conditioner just, it could be brand new. It doesn't matter out here. It just, you can almost feel it struggling. It's just like.
Someone wanted to play tennis with me. He's like, what time? I'm like, 7 a.m. He's like, bet. Let's do it. 7 a.m. That's what we have to do on the weekend. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. There is so many Long John Silver's Taco Bell KFC combo tweets. I'm going to try to bounce around those because we'll be here all day. Charles in Connecticut. I love them all, though. I'll respond to all of them. Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer, says, will the Jell-O Shot Challenge be shown with my VSiN Plus subscription? Sorry I'm sending so many messages. Show is just too damn good today. Oh, well, thank you, Charles. Very much. Appreciate that. Jack Olaquire, Gil, thanks for a reason to actually watch my White Sox this season. Following you with a bet on them to get to 60 wins. Gulp. Yeah, let me just be clear about this. That's at DraftKings. We can't bet this unless I mule it out. And I reserve the muling for other bets, not that one. Let me just be clear. I do not have a bet on it, but those are the three that I mentioned, White Sox, Rangers, and Reds, that I would consider. The rest of them are absolute no bets. for me on those. This is from this is from a real uniform czar who says, bring back the Brent Musburger Manscaped commercials. Super Jerk, your boy, Super Jerk.
Where you been?
He says, Chicago White Sox have been scrappy, made me money thus far. I would be careful with this team with that bet. Might look to move a pitcher or two at the deadline. You always got to be careful with the White Sox.
That didn't sound very angry. That tweet wasn't angry.
No, he wasn't angry. Yeah. He's usually angry. Super Jerk, formerly angriest man in New Jersey, then angriest man in Kentucky. Now he's just Super Jerk. Larry Brewer, Big Shot Rob, Big Shot Bob, Robert Horry had some pretty decent playoff clutch runs as well. Yes, he did. And then the rest of them are all Long John Silver's. just got a wee Chick-fil-A's in there as well.
Somebody at Long John Silver's social media department's like, what's going on today?
What's going on? It's a great day in our company history. Let's recap some of the best bets. Not some of them. All of the best bets that we've had on the show today. Every show, every host, every guest, every sport. Recapped at the end of each and every show, courtesy of GBank, the official bank of VSIN. I'm workshopping some grass tennis. Not ready to put out plays yet, but they would have gone 2-1 today, so we're trending towards official plays.
Where are we this week? London and Stuttgart?
Oh my God, we're in so many places.
Do you prefer Stuttgart's clay or Stuttgart's grass?
I prefer Stuttgart clay. Thank you for asking. Kelly, very aware at all times, noticing that in Stuttgart they have a clay tournament about a month ago, and now a grass tournament. And you said, what?
There's no other city, right, that has two events of that level with two different surfaces?
At least the 250 in each place? Probably not. To answer your question, the ATP Tour is in Stuttgart and in, how do you pronounce it, Hertogenbosch?
Ooh, I got to look that one up.
I don't know. I'm totally mispronouncing that. It's in the Netherlands, by the way.
Hertogenbosch.
It's in Holland, where the Dutch are.
And what do you think about them, Gil?
Well, there's two things in this world I can't stand. it's such a great line from Austin Powers. And then the WTA Tour is in London. They're also in Hertogenbosch. I'm not pronouncing that right. And then they have three 125s, which I don't pay attention to. But the Ladies London Grass Tournament is the only 500 that's going on right now. So you'll recognize the names. Anyway, Tiger 16-1, most wins in June. They're in fourth place right now as they take on the Orioles again today. And then Leon Draisaitl 9-1 to win Conn Smythe. You can get him at a better number right now with the Oilers down 2-1. Game 4 back at Sunrise tomorrow night. How many times you living in South Florida did you ever go to Sunrise?
All the time to play poker.
Okay.
to watch hockey games about probably 5 times.
All right. What you got tonight in the ball game?
Halliburton over 2.5 3-pointers made. You're getting that. I got it -102. You'll find it pretty cheap out there. I'm expecting more volume overall from this team from three. Going forward, I think that starts tonight in Game 3. If Halliburton is also limited at all with this leg, I maybe he has to settle a little bit more for some pull-up jumper. So, like, the over 3 is on him tonight.
All right. Kelly gets to some country club in here momentarily with golf. Ben Wilson came in. He's got Louisville over Oregon State. Louisville plus 135. That's the first round, if you will. We don't really call it the first round, but it's the first game being played. That's in bracket 1 of the College World Series in Omaha. So Ben's on Louisville plus 135. He's also waiting to see when the totals are posted for other bets as well. And then was that it for us?
No, we got Will with a few baseball.
Will Hill, my God, this feels like it was 5 hours ago, Will Hill. He's got the Braves today at minus 138. He's got the Phillies today at minus 115. And a Willie special, as Wishnev calls it, Marlins plus the half run, first 5 for William Hilliam, or Wilson Hilson, as we like to call him. And then JVT, Pascal Siakam, plus 150 to lead the series in rebounds. Pascal Siakam heading into game number 3 tonight at Indiana. All that brought to you by GBank, once again, the official bank of VSIN, where GBank is now sporting the GBank trifecta. You heard about this? Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit, and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank first bet in VSIN, head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Only one thing left to do on the show. You know who didn't get to talk about the U.S. Open? My friend Kelly Bidlin, country clubbing. No? No? No country clubbing? No, sure.
Anyway, there we go. There it is. Jason's family.
He said Matt Brown called. Matt Brown called that Ben Wilson's family.
Yep.
So great.
All right, sir. Let's fly through the card quick here. Outrights for me. I am on Ludwig Oberg, 27-1, added 30-1 yesterday. That is out there as well. Sepp Straka, 50-1, and Keegan Bradley, 100-1. That is all I'll be going into this tournament with outright bets on. I do love the top of the board. Scheffler, Bryson, John Rahm is who I'm looking to target live. We'll hopefully get in on one of those, but hey, if we don't, we don't. You have to be okay with that. Also, just kind of covering some of my outrights, Ludwig with a top five and Keegan Bradley with a top 10 is how I chose to play that. And then two bigger top 10 bets on DeChambeau and on John Rahm. I do think this is going to be another very top-heavy major that we're going to get this year like we did at the PGA and the Masters. Top 20s, really like Xander Schauffele in the top 20 market. Game's slowly getting there. I don't know if I believe in him as an outright this week. I know some others have bet that. I believe Wes is on him for him an outright. I don't know if his game is fully back yet, Gil, but this is a guy that's played really well in U.S. Opens and majors here over the past several years. And the game's back to a point where the club head speed's high. What he's doing off the tee this year is another level from where he's been at before. If he's got to play out of this thick rough, I think he's going to be okay. Like him for a top 20 play. And then top 20s on Sepp Straka and Shane Lowry. Shane Lowry's a kind of a tough one to figure out right now for me, but his approach numbers are spectacular, what he's done the past few weeks. Had trouble closing it out. Really ugly Sunday for him this past week in Canada. But he's one of these guys that I think if you're looking at this tournament, you got to choose distance off the tee or put a premium on accuracy, and that's what you're getting with Shane Lowry and Sepp Straka. They are not long, but they are extremely accurate and will find the fairway quite often. And then first round, shout out to Byron Lindekew. I thought he did a great job of breaking this down, how he was betting Scheffler this week. And really thought, went back and kind of tracked where Scheffler had finished at in first rounds in these majors, and getting just a better price to play on Scheffler after a first round top 10 at plus money, plus 115, than comparing to what he is as a top 10 or even a top 5 bet for the entire tournament. So thought that was a really sharp way to play that in the first round, and with condensed scores. Or not, you know, guys not going very low in this first round. I'm going back to some of these MGM first round markets where I'm going to play some top 10s, top 5s possible.
Same question that I asked Sia earlier about the without Scheffler markets.
Yeah.
How rampant are the top 10 first round markets?
Yeah, great question. I only mentioned one book for a reason. For us, it's only at MGM. I don't even know nationwide. I don't think there's a ton that offer it outside of MGM. They'll go first round leader, top 5 after first round, and top 10 after first round.
Last question on this, as we head into the U.S. Open tomorrow. What is the winning score projected? Because we can bet this,
the
too.
The prop is like minus 1.5. So 1.5 under par.
And I guess a lot of this is rain dependent,
it
right?
It really is.
When will the rain show up?
It's an impossible question to answer. Yeah. We know U.S. Opens play tough. And if there looks like there's going to be weather this weekend, if that comes in, this could be, I mean, it could be brutal.
I'm going to do my thing where I jump in after a round or two.
Yeah.
Doing
long
that.
Shots up now. Go check that out. Me and Wes Reynolds did that yesterday.
It's called Long Shots.
Oh, Long Shots. And remember, get a podcast of the show as well. A numbers game.
A numbers game. In case you miss us, want to watch us on delay, after the fact, a numbers game podcast. Check it out. Money Moves with Stormy and JVT next at VSiN. Enjoy the Sports Betting Network.